Tokusatsu, taking the form of many shows including Super Sentai, Kamen Rider, and Metal Heroes. And today, a group of fans come together to review it for you as Toku Secrets.
Hey guys, and welcome to another video of the Toku Secrets podcast, and a happy new year, because this is the first video that we're recording in the year of 2022. We hope you guys enjoyed your holidays, and we're back here, so hope you guys enjoyed that. We're actually doing a bit of a special video here as a sort of a prequel to what we're going to be covering over these next couple of videos. As we said last time we were with you guys, we finished up our Gokaiger series, and next we're going to be moving on to Shinkenger. But before we do that, there's actually something that I'd like for us to cover here. This is going to be the beginning of a series, which we'll probably produce episodes of this sporadically, depending on if we find a subject matter that's good enough for it. But this is basically a what if series. I like to call it what could have been, where we're going to take a look at either proposals, ideas, or pretty much things that started off as concepts and ideas for any Toku show, whether it be Super Sentai, Power Rangers, Kamen Rider, etc., and take a look at it, and we'll give a general overview of it, and basically talk about how whether or not what was proposed is ultimately better than what we ultimately got. And of course, I got my two guys to help me out here. So go ahead, guys, introduce yourselves. Guys.
I thought Anthony was going to talk first.
Oh, sorry about that.
I thought you were going to talk first.
Oh, Lord.
I was like, wait, you going to stay on the first?
I was like, I'm waiting for you because I was going to play off of you, but I guess not. Anyway, hi, I'm Riz.
I could.
Man, we've really ruined it. Hi, Anthony.
Yeah, we definitely messed up on this one. It's been a while, you know. We've been on Christmas break, so I guess it's just
no. The real reason giving y'all is I'm having a hard time transitioning from being a pirate to being a samurai.
Yeah, we're all going through that.
Yeah.
Well, I like it though. Yeah,
you know, I've always been a fan of samurai. Yeah. And hey guys, I'm Anthony. You guys already know who I am, so say more.
See, I was gonna have Anthony go first, and I was gonna hope he was gonna say something to the effect of I'm sinking green, and I was gonna say same as black.
Yeah, I was gonna wait until after we got Patrick in here.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what I was waiting for, like a cue, because I was hoping you would kind of read my mind.
Oh, yeah.
But you didn't read my mind. Come on.
I just was not thinking about that because I was like waiting for Patrick to get here, you know, for this actual review.
Well, we'll be doing that next time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A big thing, we might as well talk about it in this video. Just for a brief rant section, we might as well talk about it here. As expected, we now have a first look and scans of the upcoming Sentai, Avataro Sentai Dawn Brothers. They've released scans of it, as well as a little bit more information. And it looks pretty interesting, not gonna lie. Like
it does.
Just looking at it from like a certain perspective, you know, the red and yellow rangers look pretty natural, like pretty normal. Nothing really weird about them. But black, pink, and blue They all look pretty dang unique, because, you know, blue looks like a gorilla, pink is, like, incredibly tall, and black is tiny. It's all pretty interesting, not gonna lie. Although, some people, of course, because these people exist... Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say that basically two of our Rangers are going to be CGI. So, like, we're going to have pink is CGI and also black's going to be CGI. So I'm like, okay, that's interesting. I don't know if that's going to work for the most part because, like, I don't know.
Apparently some people have said, like, I mean, they're looking at some of the scans right now. I can't remember it, and I would I'd have to do some digging. But apparently, from the looks of it, a lot of people are like looking at the scans, and they are saying that it does look like this will probably be a sequel to Zinkiger. But I wouldn't know about that stuff. You know, the big thing that
what do you think, Anthony? Will it be a sequel? Because I feel like you're more current than I am still.
It actually is a sequel. I mean, I don't really want to tell y'all like more because like it's basically like, you know, kind of spoiler if I do reveal more. But just know that it definitely is a sequel to it.
Yeah, because I've seen up until like the late 20s of this season. So I've seen some stuff that would let me think, but I didn't know anything in, like, the late 30s, like, if there's any big, like, it's definitely it or not. So I was kind of curious on what you
think. I mean, there's only one specific thing that happens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's only, like, one specific thing that happens to where, like, oh, it's definitely a sequel.
Well, that's a Sentai first, then.
Well, no, Sun Vulcan is considered a sequel to Dingyman, albeit loosely.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's loose, isn't it?
Well, they have one of the main villains from Dingyman. She was a main villain in Sun Vulcan, so...
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard about that.
But that's about it. Apparently the big thing that has everybody talking about this, which is really big surprising, it's like really surprising to me, they've apparently said that the head writer of this Sentai is going to be Toshiki Inoue. That's been the buzz like literally all over the all over like Sentai subreddits and everything, and I'm surprised that he's going to be the head writer because, so for those of you who don't know, and who don't pay attention to, the head writers and everything, Toshiki Inoue is like a veteran, Sentai writer, like his career goes all the way back to Showa era Sentais. Like the first Sentai that he ever did work on was Hikari Sentai Masked Man, which keep in mind was 1987. So he's only been the head writer of one Sentai season, Jetman. And everybody knows how I feel about that season. It's simply the best. He has done some head writing on a few Kamen Rider seasons. He was the head writer of Agito, which it's good. I don't hate it. Kamen Rider 5.
This was okay, just to get very confusing.
Yeah. Kamen Rider 5, which that's one of the most, like, I don't know. I don't want to go into much detail about that because 5 is, like, one of the most divisive Kamen Rider seasons. Like, there are fans that love it with a passion, and there's fans that hate it with a passion. He also did Kamen Rider Hibiki and Kamen Rider Kiba. And the most and
oh, okay. I watched that recently, so
yeah. And he did some episodes of Gokaiger. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's like it keeps going in and out for like some reason on my end. So like whenever you like talking, like I can't hear you one minute, and then 1 minute you'll get quiet and like what?
Oh, okay.
So but anyway, well, what I was gonna say was that guess who's actually voicing one of the Dawn brothers in the season?
Is that
the same one who does the voice for Kibato from Kiba?
Ooh, that's cool.
Mm-hmm. And he also voices the character in Cure Major, and he also does the voice for the Changer too.
Oh, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Well, him being the head writer is a pretty good sign, in my opinion, because, like, if you look at, like, the work that he's done with the tokusatsu shows that he's been the head writer of, those are all very story-heavy Sentai, and most of them are pretty dark, actually. I don't know what Hibiki and Kiva are like, but I have seen Agito and Fies, so those are two pretty dark series. So, I think this is a pretty big aggressive move because I'm actually looking at his profile right now. He actually hasn't worked on Sentai for 11 years. The last Sentai that he had any writing work done on was Gokaiger. So they're bringing him back. That's a pretty good move. I'm personally excited. I mean, he's the head writer of my favorite Sentai, so of course I'm going to be excited about that. But yeah, that was just something I wanted to bring up. We got a writer with a lot of experience with story heavy content coming in, so that's actually a pretty good sign, not gonna lie. Yeah, mm-hmm. you wanted to add anything, Anthony?
Oh no, I'm good.
Okay, cool.
Let's do this.
What's your Riz?
I'm good to go.
Yep.
Right, let's go.
Okay, so, ladies and gentlemen, back at home, as you know, our next Sentai is going to be Samurai Sentai Shinkinger. That's what we're going to be reviewing. But before we take a look at that, let's go back in time to take a look at the Power Rangers season that was adapted, albeit extremely poorly, from Samurai Sentai Shinkinger, Power Rangers Samurai. And I know it had a second season, Power Rangers Super Samurai, but we don't really like to count that kind of stuff. We all remember Power Rangers Samurai. It was the first season to air after Disney unceremoniously canceled the Power Rangers franchise, and there was quite a bit of hype. I mean, you know, Haim Saban, the man who had brought Power Rangers to life in the first place, had bought the franchise back, and there was a lot of aggressive advertising, and when it came on finally, it sucked. For a lot of reasons. And
yeah,
there's a lot of reasons why it sucked. But one of the most major criticisms that you often see, now this isn't the only thing that makes it suck, of course, but one of the biggest issues with Samurai is that it basically copies Shinkinger note for note. Like, there's literal moments in Samurai where the characters say the exact same lines that their Sentai counterparts say note for note in the show, which doesn't work because Shinkinger is very much ingrained in Japanese culture, so that doesn't exactly translate well to a show that's supposed to take place in America. But what if I told you guys that there was originally a different idea for Power Rangers Samurai? What if I told you that there was a completely different idea that was unfortunately rejected by Nickelodeon because Nickelodeon are a bunch of idiots? Well, that's actually true. So today we're going to be...
You're not wrong.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there are idiots, so, I mean, that's why they no longer have powers anymore.
Yep. So today we're going to be taking a look at this proposal. This proposal was originally given out by former Power Rangers writer Amit Bhamik. He had been with the franchise for a while up to that point. I know that, I'm pretty sure the first season that he had started on was Wild Force, because he, There's a really infamous, I don't want to say scandal, just some controversy with him having made a fan film back during like the back when Zeo and Turbo were airing, and then he all of a sudden became a writer in Power Rangers Wild Force and considered that fan film canon when he wrote Forever Red. So there's some controversy there. So I know that he dates back as far as Wild Force. Maybe he was with the Disney era. I'm not sure. But regardless, this was a proposal that he made that was rejected. And before we get started talking about this this story, we want to give a shout out to Amit Bhamik himself to. We want to give a shout out to Amit Bhamik himself, as he has posted this original pitch on his Tumblr. So thanks, Amit. We appreciate you for that. So let's take a look at this story. So the show takes place in Stone Canyon, which is a city that's often mentioned in the Zordon era as being the rival city of Angel Grove. And this season sees the return of an evil clan of villains known as the Ashura Clan. The Ashura Clan is led by two villains, an Octomancer, who would turn into an Octaru, and a beautiful vixen woman. She can transform between a demon and a human form. Her name is Nocturna. That is the character who eventually became Dayu. They return from their banishment from 200 years ago and want to continue their conquest of the human world to avenge the death of their master, Xandrid. You know who that villain, who that guy is. He was sealed away, and funnily enough, even though Master Xandrid is alive and well in the Sentai footage, in this version, he's actually a petrified statue. Like, he's lifeless, he's just standing there, which is a cool touch. We're introduced to two samurai warriors named Mark Ozawa and his friend Keiji Ayakawa. And, you know, they're both friends, you know, rivals. Mark Ozawa is a bit more of a straightforward samurai who's been trained in his, who's been trained by his butler, Mr. Mason, who's raised him since the tragic death of his father, and KG is just his rival who wants to show his power and has no regard for helping people. The first episode, Mark and KG attempt to battle the Ashura Clan and their soldiers. Their soldiers, the Moogers, although I don't know if they were called Moogers here or not. And KG disappears, And Mark is taken home by Mr. Mason. And Mr. Mason sends out a message to the five, and I do mean five, and that's going to be something that we're going to talk about in a second. These five other samurai warriors who live in different areas of the world, they're all from different samurai clans, and they were meant to be his vassals, like his guards. And we meet four of them in this, in the first episode, including Adewale Okoro from Nigeria, Lisa Daniels from England, Oscar Hernandez from Mexico City, and Iris Hansel from Austria. They all carry an origami sword, you know, the folding swords, and they use this to be, and they're all given samurai morphers to become samurai rangers. Mark is red, Adewale is blue, Lisa pink, Oscar green, and Iris yellow. These are the Power Rangers samurai. And what's interesting is that even though in both the Sentai, spoiler alert there, and in Power Rangers, they established that being a Power Ranger has just always been part of like the samurai legacy. In this version, they're apparently the first Power Rangers ever for samurai. And another thing that's different is that the monsters, even though they're supposed to grow naturally, in the show, in the actual samurai, because that's how it was in Shinkenger. Again, I apologize for some of these spoilers for our next video, but they're kind of unavoidable. The monsters grow naturally in Shinkenger, but here they grow when Nocturna plays us, cast a spell when she plays on her shamisen, the harmonium thing. And
yep.
And the episode in it, the first episode will end with Keiji turning out, being found by Nocturna. And it turns out that he is actually, at least supposedly, because they refer to him as their master, he is apparently the leader of the Ashura clan. Dun, dun, dun. Now, the show was going to run for 40 episodes. We were going to get a multiple different story arcs. For the most part, the characters are basically the same. Like, I would say that Adewale, Iris, and Oscar are basically pretty much the same characters as Kevin, Emily, and Mike. You know, Adewale is the strict, serious dude who doesn't take any nonsense. Oscar's like a goof off dude who's kind of lazy and his parents don't take it seriously. And Iris is like the little kid who was kind of forced into the role because her sister got sick and all that, which is how it was in the Sentai too. Again, I'm sorry for these spoilers, guys, but that's just how it is. The only two characters that are different would be Mark and Lisa. Mark is not like Jaden. In fact, he's probably a little bit more akin to his Sentai counterpart, Takeru. We got a lot of stuff to talk about with Takeru in the next video, but we're not going to get to that just yet. But needless to say, he's more of a reluctant leader, and he hates, he's kind of a loner. Lisa is not really like Mia. She's kind of portrayed as being like an expert swordsman or swordswoman. And she's like the smartest member of the team, but she also has this resentment for being forced into being a samurai, and she and Mark apparently develop a romantic relationship. Interestingly enough, even in this version, Bulk and Spike were going to be a thing in this show. Bulk actually turns out to be the fifth vassal. He gets summoned. He's apparently opened up a sushi restaurant in Angel Grove, and he comes to Stone Canyon, and But as you can probably guess, just from looking at Bulk, his family apparently abandoned their samurai lifestyle long ago, so he can't really do anything. And he relocates to Stone Canyon with his sushi restaurant and his son, Eugene, they call him Junior. They relocate the sushi restaurant, and the Rangers like to hang out there in the same way that, you know, they hung out at the juice bar in Mighty Morphin. Probably the biggest thing is that Junior starts off as a comic relief, and he has, this real fanatic relationship with the Rangers, and he eventually becomes the Gold Ranger. Spike is the Gold Ranger. I'm going to repeat that. Spike is the Gold Ranger. You didn't hear that wrong, ladies and gentlemen.
Nope.
That would have been so awesome.
I would love to have seen that. Because yeah. Bulk as the father and then him as his Ranger have been amazing to me.
I think his personality would fit that Ranger. That would have made more sense because, like, why would you have...
Yeah, I think the weirdest part to me is that Bulk's family is one of the families that support the Ozawas.
Yeah.
That just seems too coincidental to me.
That still would have been cool for Bulk as a character, though.
Yeah, I don't think that...
Absolutely, it would have been cool.
But yeah, he doesn't have really, force, I guess, right? I can see him being an ally to the Rangers. But I just don't see him as, like, you know, like, as far as I'm concerned, like, actual part of, like, the family trope, you know, the family trope of the samurai.
Yeah, that's
basically
kind of...
I don't know.
Mm-hmm. So the villains were going to be a little different in this show. So in the actual show, it's pretty much the same as how the villains work in Shinkenger. You know, you got Master Zandrid, he's the main boss, and they live on a ship in the Sanzu River, and there's Dayu and Octaru, and they just do their thing. In this version, they have a castle that appears, like, out of nowhere in, like, the middle of the city, and they operate from there. Master Zandrid is still sealed away. Like, he's just a lifeless statue, as I said. Keiji is basically the main villain. And his whole... and Keiji eventually in the series gains the ability to transform into his own demon form, which is basically the suit that was used for Decker in Power Rangers. So basically, Decker's the main boss here. And Keiji wants to, Keiji has always resented Mark because, you know, Mark has, you know, just because Mark, I guess, has been better than him here and there. And, you know, he resents Mark's inheritance, and he wants to become the leader of the Ashura clan. And, and he wants to defeat Mark. And later on in the series, we get some different things that happen with the villains. We get another villain that comes in, Akumaru. He is the, this is what the villain, Serrator, would become. And funnily enough, Akumaru was actually the, spoiler alert for this, guys. Akumaru was actually the character's name in the Sentai. He resurrects Akumaru to, No, not Keiji. Octomancer would resurrect Octomaro because he becomes resentful of Keiji, and he wants to resurrect Master Zandred so that they can take back control of the Ashura clan with Keiji. Now, of course, if you guys have seen Samurai, you know how the whole thing begins to kind of wrap up. It turns out that the Red Ring, the end game arc is kind of similar to what happens in the actual series. Mark discovers that he and Keiji are not just rivals, but they're brothers, and he's not a true Ozawa, and if anything, he's apparently a member of the Ashura clan. He has to stand down as the Red Ranger and give it to a distant cousin of his, Allison. So, just like in the series, a woman takes over as the Red Ranger. And pretty much the final in-game arc will be, and for the record, Mark does stand down, and he apparently gets this own ancestral power to transform into a Shogun Ranger, which I guess you could say that maybe like the Shogun mode that they had in Samurai, I guess, was going to be a suit.
They call it the Battleizer, Nate. And the write-up I read, it's the Battleizer version of the Red Samurai suit.
Yeah, I guess, but
yeah, I don't know how that makes sense. Like,
yeah.
If it's the Battleizer of the red suit, is he still red?
Yeah.
Sorry.
And pretty much, no, it's cool.
I don't see why there's an issue because, like, they can both use the same suit. You know, it's not like in Mighty Morphin where, like, you know, too much energy is dangerous. It's not like they're one of those things. They can use the powers at the same time, they just choose not to.
Yeah, I can see that.
So, pretty much the way that the series wraps up.
Okay, but
yeah. Pretty much what happens in the final episodes.
Awesome, I think you're good.
Yeah, you're good. Master Zandred gets resurrected, and pretty much everyone turns on Keiji, and Keiji and Mark end up getting into a final duel, and it ends in a draw, and then pretty much everyone comes together to defeat a giant Master Zandred, and now that Keiji is the only surviving member of the Ashura clan, they're able to form a truce and blah blah blah. Like, it all ends on a pretty, it all pretty much ends similarly to Power Rangers Samurai, just with a little bit more drama added. I mean, that's pretty much how it ends. You can, we're obviously skimming over some of the details, but you guys can check out the post on Amit Bomik's Tumblr if you want to get more details. But there's a lot to unpack there, and all I can say is I just want to walk up to Nickelodeon and just say, what the... I don't want to say a bad word, because we don't say that on Anime Secrets.
No,
but
no, we can't say those words. But yeah, I really... A lot of the stuff Amit wrote was really good. I think my favorite part of it was the international cast. Like, mm-hmm. having a girl from England, having a guy from Africa. Those things are really cool to me. I don't understand why you wouldn't do something like that. I mean, it doesn't even hurt to have one scene with a yellow ranger from Austria or a green ranger in Mexico. Like, does that really hurt anything? At the end of the day, it's like one little scene. The parents come and be like, hey, yo, so we should probably talk about the Ozawa clan. Because of the news, FYI, y'all are Power Rangers now, because thanks, good luck. That doesn't hurt anything, right? Like, there's just more plot details. It makes it more interesting. Because otherwise, you get five random kids living in the same town who just happen to be the Rangers and they have to come together. I mean, that's something that we don't get in Rangers ever. We don't have, like, okay, so these things come from space, like Rita, Zed, Machine Empire. But how is it one little city is the place where they do all their battling? And it's like not even a landmark city in the world. It's just Podunk, Angel Grove, or like Stone Canyon or whatever. But like in this case, it's set in Stone Canyon, but they have people from all over the world unite to fight. That makes more sense.
Mm-hmm.
That makes a whole lot more sense. And if they had done that there, that would have set a great precedent for future seasons doing similar stuff. Because you got to think about the global threat here a little bit. There's a global threat to this whenever it happens. And that, to me, was just a missed opportunity.
Yep.
I do like how they kind of blend the samurai characters into these, into what Amit wrote. I can definitely see some of what the Samurai Rangers and Shinkenzer were in these characters. At least up until episode 10 that I watched. I haven't seen anything beyond that yet in Shinkenzer. But that's a story for another day.
You know, when I was reading this proposal, you know, I think the best way to define this is that, so this does copy a lot from the Sentai, but it does it more effectively. So here's the thing. I'll give two examples. There's two Power Ranger seasons that are well known for having copied the Sentai almost note for note. There's Power Rangers Time Force, which is one of the most beloved Power Ranger seasons ever. And then there's Power Rangers Wild Force, which, okay, Wild Force does have its fans, but it's not a beloved season. Wait, no, I'm not saying,
I'm just saying, why do they have fans? I'm sorry if you are a fan of it, but I'd genuinely love to know why.
Yeah.
Like, if you're a fan of Wild Force, no disrespect, but please come to our Discord and DM me or just tag me in the main channel. And let's have a talk. I just want to know why you like Wild Force. That's something that's been bugging me since I watched Wild Force, I think, 8 years ago. Okay. So please help me understand why. Because I can't. And these guys are no help.
I mean, if you take out the team-ups, then it's not really much.
Oh, that's awful.
Anything special, I mean.
They're not much help in explaining why it's something that people are fans of. So, again, reach out, let me know, because I really want to know. No judgment, I just want to understand.
I would say that, like, this version that we just went over is the Time Force way of copying the Sentai, and what we ended up getting in Samurai was the Wild Force way of copying the Sentai.
Yeah.
So
it's done so much worse.
Yes. So this version takes elements,
some, like, I guess, emotion and acting. But with Samurai, you don't get that, like, at all. Like, it feels so,
Had some good acting, most of the part. Anthony, your mic's kind of broken out there, but I understood most of what you're saying.
Yeah, me too.
I didn't hear a word of that. Anyway, Nate,
But to kind of give some examples, so it's like Time Force has the same plot as Time Ranger, but they do a lot of different things with that story. Like even though Wes and Eric have the same setup and like background as their Sentai counterparts, I would argue that they're actually much different from their Sentai counterparts, because even though the show used that dynamic, even though the show used those character backgrounds, they decided that they wanted to do their own thing with that little character dynamic. And it's the same thing with what this proposal was doing. It's taking a setup and a thing that's similar to what there is in Shin Kendra. Like, yes, you know, there's evil demons that are coming here from the netherworld, just like in Shin Kendra. There's, you know, the whole story is about, you know, the Rangers are all from like a family, from like samurai families, and they're all coming together. And, you know, the Red Ranger is hiding a secret. So the similarities are there, but you can take the bait, like with Time Force in this version, it's like, okay, I'm going to take the setup and the basic plot of the Sentai, but then after I do that, I'm going to do my own things with it and kind of try to create my own original thing, while with Wild Force, and I guess if we're going to be using this analogy, with Wild Force and what we actually got with Samurai, it's just, I'm going to take the Sentai script, I'm going to put it through a translator, and there's your script. Like, we're just going to do exactly what the Sentai did. Maybe we'll change up one or two things. Like, I don't know. We'll, like, in Wild Force, we'll have it so that the Red Ranger is a jungle man instead of a vet. And in Samurai, we'll have the Red Ranger be a little bit nicer compared to Takeru, except in a few episodes where he's not, because we still have to copy the episodes. And it's just a mess. So I think that this, like, you can copy the Sentai and still be good, but you have to copy the Sentai while also doing your own original things. And this one has so much originality in it. And if I had to guess why this was rejected, maybe it's because it was too dark, because, you know, this was around the time when Nickelodeon was kind of becoming a little too kid-friendly, and I don't know, maybe a show this dark would look weird airing next to like SpongeBob SquarePants and the Fairly Odd Parents, but I don't like that. Like, this mistake that Nickelodeon made, like, it, that was the beginning of the nosedive that Nick made when they were, and why the franchise is kind of in a tight spot like it is right now. I'm just going to say that. But do you guys get what I'm saying? Like, with the Time Force and Wild Force analogies?
Oh, no, definitely. That makes 100% sense to me. I mean, I haven't seen Time Ranger or Gow Ranger, but I've read a lot about both of them, just because of all the stuff I've done with podcasting and just my love of Toku. And I definitely see your analogy here that, you know, the Wild Force adaptation of Gow Ranger is horrendous when they do a copy paste from Sentai to Ranger, whereas the Time Ranger to Time Force translation is perfect. So I get it, and I think you're correct that the version of Samurai we got, compared to even what we have in Shinkenzer, complete garbage compared to Shinkenzer. Now, that's not to say that, you know, Shinkenzer's the best. It might be. I'm only 10 episodes in, but, you know, it's a great Sentai so far, for the most part. So they definitely messed up the translation there.
Yeah, and I think the more I'm reading this, it honestly feels like a season that came out during the golden age of Power Rangers. I consider the golden age to be from around like Power Rangers in between Power Rangers in Space and Power Rangers Time Force. Like, that was the golden age of Power Rangers for me. And yeah, there's been other great seasons to come out from that time period, but I would say that, like, that was an era where they were really trying to be a little bit more original. And one of the big things that stood out to me was how they handle the villains, because, like, just with how they're describing the villain dynamic, that sounds like, you know, instead of just kind of being lazy and just constantly using Sentai footage of the villains to cut corners, I mean, you're going to have to film a lot of original footage. Sorry about that, guys. You're going to have to film a lot of original footage for that villain thing to work. Because, I mean, the Shinkinger villains is like, you know, Masters Andrid just, you know, walking around and, you know, and the other people accompanying him. But you have to get a guy like Keiji, who has a human form, to be like on a throne and everything. Like, you have to film a lot of original footage for that. And that, to me, is one of the big things that made, you know, some of the golden age of seasons really great, because the villains were completely original. Like, if you look at, because of those four seasons, Power Rangers in Space, Lost Galaxy, Lightspeed Rescue, and Time Force, the only one where the villains are complete Sentai footage is Lightspeed Rescue. So, you know, we get some cool different villain dynamics. The more I read this, the more I wish it was real. And it almost kind of breaks my heart that it's not real. Like, it feels almost kind of a cruel fate that it wasn't made. And I just really hate Nickelodeon because they're going to give it to us.
I mean, so I have many thoughts here, honestly. So, first of all, Amit is an amazing writer. And I know we're not going to be talking about it tonight, but I do want to kind of give our listeners a quick nugget of what's to come in the future with our podcast. And this is the second time that a studio has turned down Amit's idea for a season, and the season we end up getting is nowhere near as strong as what Amit originally wrote. So the first time this happened was actually with Ninja Storm, and he had this idea called Project Hexagon.
Yep.
And I'm not going to go into very much details here, but Hexagon, if they had implemented Project Hexagon there, we might have had something very, very interconnected going forward for many seasons to come. Hell, even maybe right now, we'd have a very interconnected world where we had a shared universe and things flowed, like, sequentially through all of this. There wouldn't be these separated seasons that we have to then, for anniversaries, figure out, okay, so Dinocharge is in one dimension, Arfim's in another dimension, and then we can have all the other Rangers in one dimension. Like, that entire thing, it could happen. We could definitely still let that be a thing, but it wouldn't be a struggle for us as a fandom to be like, is Dinocharge canon? And then we don't understand if it is canon literally until Ninja Steel. Do you know how bad it is that we don't know if it's, like, in the same dimension or not until the season after the season ended?
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Because literally, Dinocharge ended with them getting dinosaurs on the planet, and we're all stuck wondering, does that implication mean that from here on out, we're going to have dinosaurs roaming in the background of these different, like, seasons, or already in a different dimension, like RPM? And we don't get that answer until Super Ninja Steel episode 10, I think. So almost a season later, we get that answer. That's not good story writing from Nick.
Nope.
That's horrendous story writing, and that shouldn't have been a thing. I mean, if we had the shared universe with Hexagon, if we had all these stories kind of tracked together with the way Amit wanted them to, our fandom would have a less strenuous time figuring out what's canon, how does it fit timeline. And because it's like, you know, for the older fans who've been watching from maybe, I don't know, I started watching with Mighty Morphin when it first aired, episode 1. But, you know, other fans that have been watching, you know, for 5, 6, 7 years, they could see a continuity here. You know, maybe they'd have, like, a quick guest appearance. Like, maybe Andrus would pop up and be like, hey, guys, I'm back from KO35. I'm here for one day. Hey, what's up, guys? How's it going? You know, that'd be kind of cool to see, like, a quick cameo because they're all in a shared world with a shared organization and stuff. But we don't have that. So, I think... yes, Nickelodeon screwed the poots when they didn't adopt this plot you're talking about. Mm-hmm. But I can't tell you, yeah, this is the only time it's ever happened because Disney also did the same thing.
Well, it might also just have something to do with the executive producer powers at the time, Jonathan Zachor. I think... I don't know. A lot of people think that, you know, Bruce Kalish, who was responsible from SPD to Jungle Fury, is the worst producer. I disagree. I would say that it was Jonathan Zachor because, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of rumors. I don't know if he was the executive producer for Ninja Storm or not, but just given how he always seemed to prefer to copy the Sentai, I would, maybe that's just what he wanted to do. Like, he wasn't looking for anything really, really creative or anything. He just wanted to copy the Sentai because that was the easiest thing to do. In this case, you know, Jonathan Zachor is just terrible. Like, that guy is almost the antichrist of Power Rangers, I would argue.
Agreed.
Yeah.
You know, one other thing I want to comment on here that I actually really like. I actually think that this show with the proposal is actually pretty effective with bringing in the Japanese culture elements. Because like we said, like I said earlier in this video, Shinkinger is very much ingrained with Japanese culture elements. I mean, they have kanji symbols on their helmets, for God's sake. You can't get more Japanese than that.
Right.
I think that this proposal did a pretty good job at adapting that. So like Riz said, you know, instead of like all the samurai teens just being from this one city that we never know the name of. Well, actually, we did know the name of the city in a samurai because we saw it on Mia's driver's license in one episode. I think it's called Panorama City or something. I don't know. But
you know the city name? Really?
Yeah, but they don't mention
it. How did I miss that? That's amazing.
But anyway, and you know, they're all living in this one city and they all come together. So they establish that, you know, each of these rangers are from a different country. But the thing is that they all have Japanese heritage. It's just that, you know, one, like each of the samurai, they were all originally in Japan and then they immigrated to different countries. So to give some examples, you know, Iris has a distant relative who was Japanese and he went to England and that, and you know, her and the Japanese heritage went down to her. And then, you know, the same with Oscar, you know, some samurai immigrated to Mexico and et cetera. I think that that does a much better job at explaining, you know, how each of these rangers, you know, are able to maintain the samurai lifestyle, even though all of them are clearly not Japanese. I think it's cool how they handle Bulk and
Spike. Same as the samurai did.
Yeah. I think it's cool how they handle Bulk and Spike in this show. Bulk and Spike are completely pointless in Samurai. Like, the funny thing is that they're probably one of the better things about the show, because they do have moments where they can be funny. I don't hate Bulk and Spike in that show. I don't know how you guys feel, but I don't hate them in that show. But the problem is that they're pointless. I mean,
I'm indifferent towards them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There are worse comedic duos we've had, you know?
Yeah. The problem is, though, is that they're pointless because aside from maybe one or two episodes, they don't do anything with the Rangers. Like, they're not allies. They have no connections. They're just these two random people that are just going around doing stupid stuff. It just doesn't connect with the show.
No, it doesn't. It just, that's a nostalgia thing, really. And honestly, maybe what happened is Amit gave the proposal and they started hiring back people to do it. And they got bulked before they realized they're not doing Amit's original plan, so they just stick them in something random at the end.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that could have been what happened.
But you also want to know what actually there's like. It's not even an important reason, but it's also one factor that we have to understand why Bulk is even in Samurai. And later on, you'll scroll later on too, but like, there's one important thing to note why they are probably in this. But most people don't realize they're in it.
What's that?
For continuity purposes. Because without these characters, we wouldn't know, oh, this is in the main timeline, RPM.
Okay, that's fair. But also, RPM, they live in a fistbowl. That it's not hell.
So then, when this was proposed, we didn't know that RPM took place in an alternate universe. As far as we were concerned, RPM was in the main continuity.
No, maybe fandom just had the theory long before, but I thought fandom all agreed that RPM happened in its own continuity because it didn't make any sense.
Well, if that was the case, I would have disagreed because I always kind of interpreted RPM as, obviously this isn't true now, but I always interpreted RPM, at least prior to when it was considered part of the alternate continuity, I always thought that, RPM was kind of what led to the Power Ranger, like, it takes place in, like, not in 2009 when the show actually aired, but it takes place in, like, some distant future. Not distant, but more like, I don't know, maybe in, like, the, maybe around, like, 2012, because, you know, that was around the time when, like, everybody was fear-mongering over 2012 being the end of the world, and I always thought that maybe, like, RPM takes place around that time period, and then the world being destroyed is what caused Earth to open its doors for aliens to come to help them rebuild the world, and that's how we get the future of SPD, if that makes sense. I know that that doesn't... Obviously, that's not the case now, but I'm pretty sure that's how I interpreted it, at least. I didn't hear fans talking about that, but again, I mean, what I'm saying now is pointless since we know that RPM is a alternate timeline.
Hey, Anthony.
Yes.
We need to get Nathan a job at, like, Hasbro writing stories, because that's a really good explanation. I like it.
It is. Yes, definitely.
So I think we need to find somebody at Hasbro and be like, hey, see this guy here? Hire him. He makes a lot of sense.
Well, I try my best. But yeah, I understand why that. I mean, I really think that they brought Bulk back for. I mean, I can understand where Anthony is coming from, saying that, you know, that does kind of, you know, they bring Bulk back to kind of establish that this is in the main timeline. But I don't know. It probably could have also just been for some nostalgia, because if I notice one thing with Amit Bhamik, he really does like to make nods to continuity and, like, you know, bring in elements from previous seasons. I mean, he brought up the whole hexagon thing. So I would imagine maybe him bringing Bulk back was just because, you know, he wants to make that big nod to the Zordon era, because Amit Bhamik was a huge fan of Power Rangers before he became a writer. So I just think that that makes a little bit more sense. Just knowing
the
person he is.
Is this the right place to talk about this? I don't know if it is. Yeah, I'm going to mention it real quick, but I'm not going to go into, like, the whole thing, because that's a whole other podcast I discovered tonight. So, Amit was part of something called Scorpion Rain. If you ever heard of it, Nate? Anthony?
I actually mentioned that briefly earlier in this video.
Okay. So, yeah, Amit's a total fan. He even got, like, a job with them, because Scorpion Rain was really well done. I watched some of the video, like a clip of it. And that was hilarious.
I remember somebody had made a fan parody of it. Like, not a fan parody of it, but like a fan edit to where it was Zed that was fighting against the Zeo Rangers with the Super Terror at the end. It was
made by Australians that Amit was part of. And it was basically the premise that Zed had Serpentera, and Tommy and Kat used Zeo powers to go into space and fight Serpentera and destroy it. And Amit said in an interview that he considered it canon towards Forever Red to explain Serpentera more for the inclusion in it. Which I think is hilarious, and I have regrettably only found part 5 of the 5-part release of Scorpion Rain so far. The first 4 parts are still missing in my search. I can't find it. But it's pretty hilarious. I'll give you a link later. It's something that I'm going to post, like, a link maybe also in the podcast, so people that are interested can look at it.
Yeah,
please show me.
Because it's hilarious. Yeah. It's so bad quality, but it's still great.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know, it was basically supposed to be like a 5-part finale to Zeo, where Rita and Zed, like, re-energize Serpentera, and they use it to, like, destroy most of the Zeo Rangers mech, and then they defeat it, and then Serpentera crashes on the moon. So that's how Serpentera is on the moon in Forever Red, basically.
Yeah.
And it was supposed to, like, be like that would give an explanation on why they switched to the turbo powers, because, like, you know, the Zeo powers were, like, weakened from that battle or something like that. But the point of that whole thing that we just said is that, you know, Amit Bhamik is a huge fan, so it's possible that he just really wanted to bring Bulk back because, you know, I mean, here he is making a fan film during the era when Bulk and Skull were, like, very prominent characters in Power Rangers. So, yeah.
Like, he very much was a fan of the stuff well before he was, like, involved in any production. And I think that's fantastic because it definitely shows, like, the way he treats the stories and the way he wrote the samurai pits and the hexagon pits. It shows that he's a fan and he understands what we want, because, quite frankly, he wants it too.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think he's pretty badass for that.
Indeed. Oh, and before I forget, because I know I'm going to forget, I was trying to say this earlier, but I think you guys might be able to hear me at the time, because I was like, I could hear y'all, but you couldn't hear me for some reason. I was going to say earlier was involving Nickelodeon, and, like, Nickelodeon can go to, like, dark themes, because I know they have, because I watched Danny Phantom, and there was a special movie they did where Danny essentially becomes, like, an evil version of himself from the future, because he loses his family and friends to a crazy accident that kills them all. And it gets to a point where, like, he has to fight his evil self from the future. And I'm just like, you can have this, but making Power Rangers kid-friendly? Like, come on now. Like, what is this? Like, be consistent.
Well, unfortunately... Phantom was around the time when Nickelodeon was fine with taking risks with its darker shows. Like, Power Rangers got bought by Nickelodeon at the worst possible time. Like, that, like, this wasn't like the Danny Phantom, you know, the Danny Phantom, you know, we want to make, you know, some a cool action show type of thing and actually, you know, embrace storytelling. This was the, you know, we want to make like teen sitcoms and like, you know, try to, you know, like iCarly and like, you know, and, you know, like try to, you know, just make a bunch of things that'll appeal to like the lowest common denominator, Nickelodeon. If you know what I mean.
We want our kids to be stupid. We don't want them to think. We don't want them to think for themselves. We want them to be stupid and ignorant of the world. I think everything's jump out of the rainbows.
Yeah.
There is no violence in Nickelodeon. What are you talking about? You just aired a show where literally somebody died. There is no violence in Nickelodeon.
I kind of wish, you know, we spoke about this once in our Otaku Sentai Digiranger. As much as I don't know if it would mesh well or not, maybe it would have. Power Rangers should have honestly have been bought by Cartoon Network at that point, because, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Even at the time, Cartoon Network was putting on some pretty decent shows. Like, they had the Star Wars Clone Wars, which is one of the greatest shows of all time, by the way. You know, they were, and, you know, Cartoon Network has always had a lot of really great action shows. I mean, I don't know what they have on nowadays, but, I mean, when I was growing up, I mean, you know, they had shows like, you know, pretty much all the DC animated universe stuff, like Teen Titans. Not Teen Titans Go, the original Teen Titans. You know, and...
Just Unlimited, et cetera.
Yeah. And, you know, Power Rangers being like a live-action show, kind of airing next to those. I mean, it pretty much be what Power Rangers was doing back during, like, its golden age, when it was airing on Fox Kids, you know, next to shows like the X-Men animated series or the Spider-Man animated series. So, yeah, I mean... This proposal here shows just how great Power Rangers could have been, and we could have gotten like a new golden age potentially, because who knows, like, if they accept a Mitt Bomick for this proposal and they keep him on, who knows what happens after that? Like, maybe a Mitt Bomick is able to, you know, give us a decent adaptation of Ghost Sager. And even if he didn't, you know, Ghost Sager that great, I wouldn't blame him because I'm not a fan of that. But then he goes on to give us like an amazing anniversary season out of Gokaiger. Like,
yeah,
I honestly wish they.
Anthony, your mic is gone. Sorry, bud.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Hold on.
You sound like a chipmunk.
Hang on. It's probably my headphones. It's probably like the it's
sharp. For those that can understand, his headphones are dying. He doesn't know.
Yeah.
All right, technical difficulties.
Yeah.
All right, how does that sound now?
Much better.
Yep.
Yeah, it's just charging now, so.
Carry on with what you were saying.
Oh, so what I was about to say was that, I know that Cartoon Network is like known for like having cartoons or whatever. I think personally, I would actually have been okay with Power Rangers being the exception if it was to air on Cartoon Network. And also, like, I still want the because Power Rangers still has not done this to this day. Do a concept where the Rangers themselves are like trapped inside of a video game for like the majority of the series, and like that's literally they're literally in a video game, but it's Power Rangers. And like they're trying, like they use powers, like level up systems, and it's basically Power Rangers with video games, and it's never been done before, and I don't know why.
I mean,
like Megaforce would have been a perfect concept for that too.
Megaforce?
Yes, because like I know a dude on like online, he made like a funny parody, but like. It legit looked good. It was he used footage from Megaforce / Ghost Savior, and he just had the Rangers kind of like just by dubbing their voices gave these characters more personality than they did for them in Megaforce. And there was all trapped inside of a video game, and the villains were it was, of course the War Star, and like they were just, you know, essentially like CPUs in the game, and they were fighting against them, and they would like whenever they defeat a monster, they would gain, you know, bonus points for, you know, destroying a monster or whatever. And it was just a good it looked good. What could have been.
Yeah.
Cause I'm like they
I can see that.
Cause I just don't know why they haven't done that yet. Like to have a season of Power Rangers where the Rangers are trapped inside of a video game. And like, they get their powers in the gaming world, and that's how they fight and stuff. And then when they get out, they just become normal people again. But only when they go into the video game do they transform into Rangers.
I think
kind of like VR Troopers, basically.
I think the closest you can get is Beast Morphers right now.
Yeah, but like,
I mean, it's not just the same, but it's close.
You know? It's close. But they haven't actually, like, been in the game world, if that makes sense, you know?
Precisely, yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I'm not talking about, like every Ranger is a gamer, if that makes sense. I don't know.
It'd be pretty cool to see it.
Yeah.
But I think it's safe to say that this proposal in general, I think, is just one really big, like, a really big one what if in Power Rangers. Like, what if they accepted this? Because I don't think any fan would have said that Samurai sucked if they accepted this idea. I think that it would have gone on to be a success. I think that Amit would have probably then been allowed to go on and do Megaforce and Super Megaforce, although he probably wouldn't have adapted Megaforce and adapted Gosager and Gokaiger as like being the same within the same show. I can't help but just really think what would have happened had Nickelodeon just made this one simple decision.
Well, the problem is that Nickelodeon did that, and then they also completely dropped the ball on airing the premiere episodes, and I think those two things really destroyed a lot of things for years to come, even now.
Yeah.
I mean, look, Hasbro's been great. I like the current season, but I still wonder what could have been if they had actually taken care of it all this time. Because I think right now Hasbro's going to do what should have been done 7-8 years ago.
Better late than never in Hasbro's case.
Yeah.
Did you guys want to say anything more about this?
No, I'm good, man. I think we've covered it. We've beaten the horse to death. Amit's amazing. The proposal is amazing. At some point, we're going to do a look at Hexagon. And you're going to hear my insane crockpot theory of how stuff works with that. I'll give more on that when we get to that video, but just kind of look out for that in the next couple of weeks, maybe.
Yep. What about you, Anthony? You got anything?
I pretty much said what I wanted to say.
All right, cool. Well, guys, back home, we hope you guys have enjoyed this. This is kind of a prequel to what we're going to be doing next week with Samurai Sentai Shinkinger. And just a fair warning, guys, I just want to give you guys a warning in this video so we don't have to do it in the next. We might occasionally have to draw comparisons to Shinkinger, to Samurai, and you may say that that's not fair, but it is, because Samurai immediately made itself eligible to be compared to Shinkinger the minute they decided to copy it note for note. So I think I think we are well within our right to be merciless to Samurai and compare it to Shinkinger as much as we want.
Yeah.
So
it's a piece.
Yeah. We are well within our rights to do that. But aside from that, a couple of other things. We're going to be doing a couple of other things here. We recently received a request from a fan. This fan made a comment under one of our videos for us to take a look at the unofficial Sentai, and that's literally what it's called, Akiba Ranger. We're probably going to make two videos. We're going to take a look at those two seasons. They're both like 13 episodes long, I think. We're going to be taking a look at that. We're thinking about kind of restarting a series that we did on our Otaku Sentai Digiranger page, where we take a look at Power Ranger seasons and just do one whole video about it, just like what we did with Power Rangers Dino Fury, but that is pending right now because that'll probably require quite a bit of binging.
Especially for Mighty Morphin, God help us all. Not because it's bad, because there's so much of it.
Right.
Yeah, there's over a hundred episodes in Mighty Morphin.
Yeah.
But aside from that,
season.
Mm-hmm. Aside from that, we'll welcome whatever ideas you guys would like to do. We're gonna be covering the Hexagon Plan, as Rich said, in this What Could Have Been series. If you guys have any ideas of some original concepts, you can drop suggestions. We're always happy to listen to your suggestions. Aside from that, we hope you guys enjoyed this video. We hope you guys will join us next time when we officially begin our journey to become samurai. Until then, we hope. Go ahead and check us out on AnimeSecrets.org. Subscribe to our channel if you're not already subscribed. Leave comments down below with other ideas you want. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all the social media things. Once again, we thank you guys for joining us. We'll see you guys next time as we begin Shinkinger. And we'll see you guys later. Bye.